In a world of rising nationalism and anti-immigrant sentiment, almost one in three countries now impose restrictions on religion. The latest report from the Pew Research Center in the US finds that 55 countries harass or restrict religions or individual believers. RN's Noel Debien is speaking with the Pew Research Center researcher, Katayoon Kishi.
So we look at this in sort of a two-pronged approach. We look both at government restrictions and then also at social hostility separately. Government restrictions involves actions or policies by government actors or officials or political parties that impact religious groups. So this can be things like, does the government have a religious freedom clause in its constitution? Does the government harass certain religious groups? Or even, does the government give certain benefits to some religious groups over others? All these things can be considered restrictions in some way and are sort of used to create the index that we use to score countries on a 0 to 10 point scale. On the social side, we look at groups and individuals and how they interact with religious groups, as well as how religious groups interact with other religious groups in the country as well. So things like, have social groups harassed religious groups in the country? Is there religion-related terrorism in the country? And so on. And this, again, is scored on a 0 to 10 point scale, where 10 indicates the highest level of social hostilities in a country.
So if you were focusing on the United States, a targeted religious group, am I guessing correctly that Islam might be the one copying it?
Correct. So the United States actually falls into the high category of social hostilities, particularly in 2016, exactly for that reason. We saw an uptick in hate crimes that targeted Muslims in the United States, as well as an increase in hate crimes targeting Jews within the U.S.
Now, that is, of course, partly related to allegedly religiously based terror. How does that figure in how you compute and do your estimations?
We also include a measure for religion-related terrorism in the country, and that's just one of the many indicators that we focus on for social hostilities. So not only do we look at actions by religion-related terrorist groups or terrorist groups that target religion-related actors, but we also look just completely outside the realm of terrorism, looking at how individuals interact with religious groups and how organizations might interact with religious groups in particular.
Now, has Australia appeared on your measure, and how did we fare?
Australia is sort of an interesting case of where government restrictions and social hostilities, although in many countries are correlated with one another, where if one is high, the other tends to be high, Australia does not fall into this type of pattern. So in Australia, you have low levels of government restrictions on religion, but actually in 2016, you had high levels of social hostilities. Some of that came from increases in hate crimes that targeted Jews and Muslims. Some of it came from specifically anti-Islamization type of protests and activities in the country.
Which country had the highest levels of government restriction?
Typically, it's places like China, like Russia, and a lot of the Middle East, North Africa countries like Saudi Arabia and Iran. In terms of social hostilities, India topped the charts this year.
Dr. Katayoon Kishi, I want to ask some, I suppose, Dorothy Dixer questions in a way, but to help an Australian audience understand how this might figure some of the things you're looking at. For example, there are questions relating to whether governments run an organization or a ministry or control religion, aren't there?
Yes. So we look not only at ways in which governments might directly harass or discriminate against religious groups, but we also look at just even the day-to-day interactions between governments and religious groups. So things like asking a religious group to register to be eligible for tax exemptions, or forming a ministry, like you were saying, or any sort of department to manage and regulate religious affairs. These things count as restrictions, albeit low-level scoring in terms of whether it's a coercive organization or not. And this sometimes can give people trouble, especially if researchers might disagree with the idea that a organization monitoring religious groups would be a restriction in any way.
Now, you mentioned China, and having been in China and seen some evidence of what happens there, there is a high level of government regulation of religion there, isn't there?
Yes, and China's also an interesting case where it's the flip side of the Australian case. So in China, you have very high levels of government restrictions, some of the highest in the world. And at the same time, you typically have low to moderate levels of social hostilities in the country. So this is another situation in which this correlation is not always the case. And some in China might look at the government restrictions and say that this is causing the social hostilities to remain low, and that remains to be seen. It's not really something that we can confirm or deny with our data.
How do you define what a religion is? Because, of course, I noticed in some of the reports there were areas where, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses were restricted from proselytizing or are in fact outlawed. But there are other places where Scientology is outlawed. Now, views will vary on what defines a valid religion and tax exemption status and validity. How do you work about that in the Pew Research Center?
We take a bottom-up approach, so to speak. And so instead of looking down and trying to define for ourselves what may or may not constitute a religious group, we look at, on the ground, what do people identify as themselves? So whether it's through our surveys or it's through the restrictions report, we look at, do religious groups themselves say that they identify as a religious group and that they feel discriminated in a country? And so we count them regardless of what the conversation might be about the validity of that topic. And similarly for our surveys, we ask people themselves, what is the religious identity that you currently identify with? And we don't try to prescribe a religious identity onto others.
What did the research show you about religious groups and religious-related terrorism?
We did not see necessarily a large increase in religion-related terrorism in 2016, although some of the same players were in action in 2016 as in previous years. So groups like ISIS, for example, some of the Al-Qaeda offshoots were all quite active in the Middle East region as well as in other regions to a lesser extent as well. In terms of religion-related terrorism, we tend to look at not only religion-related groups themselves, so groups like ISIS, like Al-Qaeda, that have a self-defined religious ideology. But we also look at when non-religious terrorist groups will target religious groups in a country. So targeting religious locations, targeting explicitly religious groups in the country. And so we try to capture that phenomenon from both angles.
In terms of social hostility, there are sometimes very good reasons why there is hostility towards religious groups. For example, the sexual abuse crisis, and I isolate Catholicism, particularly at the moment because of Cardinal McCarrick resigning as cardinal, the resignation of the Archbishop of Adelaide in this country over a conviction that he had failed to report crimes that had come to his awareness. The sex abuse crisis would no doubt be an element that you might be able to measure.
If there was any sort of response or backlash towards Catholic communities because of that, we would certainly capture that in our coding. Although I should be clear that we usually do not try to justify any coding or use the motivations of the perpetrators in the coding. And so that allows us to really focus on religious groups as the victims rather than try to make any sort of biased or subjective call when it comes to coding whether an incident should or should not be considered motivated by religious ideologies, for example. So the actions themselves of Catholic priests could be counted as well under social hostilities if they in particular were targeting members of other religious groups, for example, or if it caused tensions between them and other religious groups, we would also capture that in our coding.
Now, that's quite fascinating, Dr. Kariankishi, because if you're focusing on religion as victims, what about where religion is in fact the motivation for persecution? How do you reconcile those two things in your research?
We also include that in our coding. So certainly looking at times when religious groups themselves are the perpetrators, so whether it is when they target other religious groups, so indicating tensions or incidents of sectarian or communal violence between religious groups, but also looking at when organized groups, including religious groups themselves, may try to prevent other religious groups from operating in a country or try to enforce their worldview of religion on others in the country, or even to use violence to enforce religious norms. So in all of these cases, not only can the religious group themselves be a victim in the situation, but more often than not, we will see that religious groups themselves can be the perpetrators.
And on the flip side of that, of course, there is within Australia an awareness of the African situation of conflict between Muslims and Christians. And because Australia is a predominantly Christian country in terms of population numbers or percentage of population, there's an awareness of Christians in Africa in trouble. What has your research shown about that?
So in Nigeria in particular, it's an interesting case because Muslims and Christians make roughly equal shares of the population. And so neither is truly a minority in the country. And you'll see Christians as the perpetrators of violence against Muslims in the country. But then at the same time, you will see Christians be the victims of violence by Muslims in the country. And so it's a great example of how one specific religious group can be both the perpetrator and the victim in any given situation. Now, oftentimes when we see persecution of Christians in countries, it is in places where they're the religious minority, but it might also be in places that are Christian majority countries that have small pockets of Christian minorities living in them. So, for example, Jehovah's Witnesses living as a Christian minority in a majority Christian country of Protestants or Catholics, for example, you'll see them targeted as well.
Katayoon Kishi of the Pew Research Centre speaking with Noel Debien, and you're with Andrew West.